All right, it is good to see everyone on this December the 1st, 2019, as we begin our Christmas series. For me, I think it's the 37th year to teach Christmas. What a great privilege in my life. For us here, it's about 22 years. We have been together at the Wayne County Bible Center studying the wonderful, wonderful story of the first Christmas and how it impacts us today. So the title of today's message is One Miraculous Fact, One Historical Fact. And we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And that's all I'm going to teach today, about 12 verses on one fact. Now, next week, we're going to look at one miraculous purpose. But this week, we look at one miraculous fact. We're not going to get into the purpose. You're going to see the purpose in pretty much every verse I read. But we're going to look at one fact. And I'm going to tell you, we've already got a problem with it. We have heard it for so long and so often, it no longer takes our breath away. And so I'm going to pray for an anointing of the Spirit on all of us to be awe-inspired, to be touched, to be turned upside down by this one miraculous fact. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's a faithful saying, and everyone that hears it needs to believe it and accept it as truth and fact, that Jesus Christ came into the world.
Amen.
Yes. One fact,
yes.
One truth, one historical event,
yes,
that is amazing.
Yes.
Christ Jesus came in to the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of sin. Weekly sin and daily sin that I so often battle. The carnality of my flesh. I confess the filth of these things to you out loud. And I know that the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all sin. And I need that cleansing. And I need an anointing, body, soul, and spirit to share this message. And Father, I just pray for a filling of your spirit, an anointing of your spirit in humility to wash the feet of these in this room and these who are listening. But I pray for all of us, Lord, that we could stop right now, mentally, and that our minds could be so focused on these verses and on you in a way they never have been before in our life. Father, I'm totally incapable of sharing these truths. They're divine. They are miraculous. They are above my human thought. But they are true. They are faithful. They never change. And we are to accept them and believe them and embrace them with certainty and allow them to change our lives. So, Father, touch your word today as it proceeds forth. And Holy Spirit, be our teacher, each and every one of us. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, and you have heard this all your life. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, that's Christmas. We all know that, Brother Leo. Why are you saying that to us again? We've got manger scenes. We've got nativities. We've got bumper stickers that say, Jesus is the reason for the season, but I'm going to attempt to share with you that this verse and these verses mean so much more. And I've written tons of stuff down, and I'm just going to read it to you. And this is it. God Himself, the Creator, the Omnipotent One, the Great and Mighty, the Everlasting Father, the Infinite God, Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah, the Great I Am, 2,000 years ago, stepped into time and space as a baby boy. Now, my friend, that is amazing. It is miraculous. It is awe-inspiring that God Himself, the one who created the universe 6,000 years ago, waited 4,000 years, and then appeared to mankind in a manger in Bethlehem. I saw in the news this morning a wooden piece of the manger this week was returned to Bethlehem from the Vatican in Rome. It was taken to the Vatican in Rome 400 AD, and it's just now being returned. And it is in the church, beside the Church of the Nativity, and hundreds upon hundreds of thousands are going to flock to Bethlehem this Christmas to experience not only the place, but the wooden relic of part of that manger turned cradle 2,000 years ago. It is a realized fact and truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You and I, those listening, many of us, we have no problem believing this. We believe it with certainty. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you I believe it. I'm going to tell you I know it. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, God Himself, came to earth and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. I know it, I know it, I know it. And I know it because a measure of faith has been given unto me by God Himself. The capability to believe these things to the point of direct certain knowledge itself is a miracle of God. So as I share with you today one miraculous fact, I want to share with you also one miraculous ability that each of you have been given by God to believe wholeheartedly these wonderful verses. I praise God also in the last 2 weeks they've seen, you know, as the ice has melted off of Mount Ararat, they see now the outline of Noah's Ark, and they've actually penetrated that ground and drawn out some of the acacia wood and gopher wood. And they'll be excavating that in the next several months or this summer. So Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago. He's coming back, and He's trying to let everybody know that what's in the Bible is the real deal. Amen. So look at what it says. Jesus Christ, the Great I Am, stepped into time and space as a babe, as a child, and grew into a man. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And all these verses say exactly the same thing. But this is Christmas, and as you help your children and your grandchildren place that nativity this year in your living room, under your tree, out in your yard. It is a message, it is a witness, it is a historical fact that Jesus Christ came into the world 2,000 years ago. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning, the Word, the second person of the Godhead, is God, was God. Verse 14a, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Verse 10a, "He," God, "the Word, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Verse 10a, "God Himself was in the world." So, what are you saying, Brother Leo? God was made flesh. He took upon Himself a human body. He lived with us humans and dwelt among us. here on earth for 33 years. And in verse 10a, God himself 2,000 years ago was in the world as a man. Yeah. Now this is the first point of belief. Yeah, amen. When Jesus said before his ascension, you shall be witnesses about salvation? No. You shall be witnesses about doctrine? No. You shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. And you're going to see in 1 John before we close today, they were witnessing about who he was. Yeah. It's not just what he did on the cross. It's who was it on the cross. Right. And Christmas is God himself has come into the world. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And my friend, I'm going to tell you something. I'm preaching it. You're reading it. But the only way you can enjoy this, if you're me, you'll ease out of your house on a winter's night and you'll ease off into the woods. And you'll look up at those stars and you'll meditate on this thing. Yeah. Or you may sit by the fire and sit in your favorite chair and meditate. The only way you can grasp what I'm sharing with you today in a more deeper way is to get alone with God and meditate upon this. I know you know it, but you need to be renewed in it. You need to be reinvigorated in it. You need to be, because next week when we get to the purpose, you know, the one miraculous purpose was you. You know, was you. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law of Israel. God sent forth his son made of a woman. God sent forth his son into the world born of a woman. He was in a womb for 9 months. Mary experienced childbirth and this child was born into the womb. That's what that scripture says. Now, let me show you the miraculous circumstances around this birth. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. And my friend, I don't want you worrying about anything else today. I want you to know to believe this. I want you to grasp this. Say, Brother Leo, I just can't believe it. I've just got doubts. My friend, you can believe it. If you're not believing this today, it's a matter of your will. It's not a matter of your ability. Everyone's been given the same ability. The ability to believe in God, the ability to believe the things of God, and the ability to know God. That is your spirit which resides within your soul. Every man has got that. Every man has the capability of faith. Every man's been given that. God desires every man be saved. So if you're listening to me today on this website, or you're even in this room, and you can't fully, you're saying, I can't fully grasp this. My friend, it's a matter of your will. You need to surrender. You need to give over to God. You say, well, Brother Leo, I need to know this and I need to know that. My friend, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And I'm glad they are, because my God is infinite and I'm finite. Now, I'm not like the Athenians that Paul ran into, and their God was made of stone, or their God was made of brass, or their God was made of glass or something. Those kind of gods can fall off a table and break. My God is unbreakable, unstoppable, undeniable, and he is great and mighty and enormous, and I praise God. I can't understand all the things of God, but I can understand he loves me, he died for me, he cares for me, and his Holy Spirit will indwell me. I can experience this miraculous God. Luke 1 verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. So, God himself is going to be conceived in Mary's womb. She's going to experience childbirth and bring forth a son. And they're going to call his name Jesus, which in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which means Savior. She's going to bring him forth. And then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the highest God will overshadow you, and a miraculous conception is going to take place. Now, I believe Mary knew the exact moment when it happened. I believe she had a miraculous experience with God. It could have been at night. It could have been in the daytime. It could have been within her house. It could have been out in the garden. She could have been going, having her prayer time. I don't know. But she had a miraculous experience with God, and she knew that the Holy Spirit had come upon her. And she knew the purpose that the Holy Spirit had come upon her. And one day in heaven, we can ask Mary and talk to her about it and find out what she experienced, what she felt. Just like I can talk to any one of you and ask you about your salvation and say, what'd you experience? What'd you feel? Man, the Holy Spirit came on me. I felt all kind of conviction. Man, you couldn't hold me back. I had to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. These things have I written unto you, 1 John says, that you may know you have eternal life. And you know when you're having an experience with God. Yeah. And my friend, I know when I'm having an experience with God. Yeah. I know when I'm being convicted. Yeah. I know when I'm being disciplined. I know when I'm being guided. I know when He's impressing upon me a thought. I know when He's impressing upon me a direction. And so these experiences with Christ are real. So the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to bring forth a son. A human being is going to be born. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, the scripture says, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, every woman in here that has had a child knows when it's time. And you can think back on that when it was time and the days are accomplished. And you say to your husband, you know, that it's time. It is time. It is a real experience. You know, and this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When man sinned, the Lord said, in childbirth, you're going to save the world. The seed of the woman will save the world. But there'll be pain. There'll be discomfort. And so the reality of this experience on Mary. And in verse 7 it said, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. So she delivered a baby boy. Yeah. I'm going to say it again. She delivered a baby boy. Amen. Yeah. One more time. She delivered a baby boy who was God Himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I want you to understand something. I can grasp the baby boy. But I can't fully grasp that it was God Himself. I want you to understand the paradoxes that surround God. The paradoxes that surround the Christmas story. Well, who announced it? We sang about it, Tony. Go tell it on the mountain. Who announced it? A bunch of lowly shepherds. They probably didn't have a lot of money. They were average guys, working guys. So these guys announced the birth of Jesus. Well, who else did? Tens, hundreds of thousands of angels filled heaven's sky and announced the birth of Jesus. So you've got the paradox of a lowly working man, and then you got the glory of the angels in heaven. Both of them are announcing the same story. Both of them are announcing the same truth. That's the paradoxes of God. You know, He was born as a baby boy, but He was the creator of the universe. There's no way your finite mind can bridge this gap. But I want to tell you one thing. You can always go deeper and deeper and deeper and gain more understanding and more understanding and more understanding. And you grow in your faith and in your knowledge of God. Paul said it. I forget those things I've already learned. You know, I hold on to those, but I'm reaching forth for more. So I challenge you this Christmas season, you know, reach forth for more. You want a deeper. I've been preaching this 37 years, and I've not yet preached the same sermon. Patsy, you may not remember this conversation. We had it a few years ago. I told Patsy Pope, she asked me what I did with my outlines. I said, on Monday morning, I tear them up and I throw them away. And she said, you don't save your outlines? I said, no. And, you know, it might be good, you know, that somebody has 37 years of my outlines, and maybe, you know, Patty could put it in a book one day after I've gone on to heaven. But everything always seems so fresh to me. Monday morning, it's a brand new morning, and stuff's starting to pour into me that I don't have time to look back at yesterday's outline. And it's the same way for you, my friend. Tomorrow morning, there are new revelations from God. There are deeper revelations from God. There's greater wisdom from God that He wants all of you to have. It's not a Brother Leo thing. It's everybody. The priesthood of the believer. Direct access to God. Indwelling of the Spirit. Veil of the temple torn from top to bottom. You can have the greatest Christmas ever just by grasping a little bit more of God come to earth. And so He came. And look at what it says. Look at what it says. And she brought forth her firstborn son, who was God Himself in the flesh. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. But I want you to back up for a moment. I want you to go back to Luke 1. And in verse 34... Mary says this: how am I going to conceive a child? How am I even going to be pregnant? Because I am a virgin and I've never been with a man. And in verse 35, the angel says unto her, the Holy Spirit, the divine power of God, the highest, is going to come upon you and overshadow you, and you will conceive a miraculous conception. So, before I continue in this series and even this message, I want to go back to my title. My title is One Miraculous Fact. That's all we're looking at today. So, I've got to define a miracle. So, let me define a miracle for you. A miracle is something that is done. Okay? We'll stop right there. Something done. A miracle is an action. It's something that is done. And I can ask those that are listening, you know, all over America, all over the world, everybody in this room today, I can ask them right now, do you believe in miracles? You know, do you believe in miracles? Al Michaels was not the first one that said that, Dave, at the hockey match for USA when we beat Russia years ago. Do you believe in miracles? All right, a miracle is an act. It is something done that is impossible by man's abilities. So that's the first part of the definition. Something done that is impossible by the ability of man. Something done that is impossible by the ability of man. So when you're praying for a miracle, you're praying for something that is outside of yourself. Amen. Outside. Robert, the doctor said there's no more they can do. Okay? So if you're going to pray for a healing, you're praying for a miracle from God. Bar, if you have peace for time with your dad till he goes home to be with Jesus, that's another way to pray. But a miracle is something done that is impossible by man's ability.
Amen.
The second part of the definition is this. It is an act only accomplished by the divine power of God. An act only accomplished by the divine power of God. That's a miracle. I want you to meditate on that a moment. The title of today's message is One Miraculous Fact. One historical fact. One miraculous fact. Okay, Luke 1. How shall this be? Verse 34. How shall this be? What's she asking? How is this going to happen? What's the miracle? Something that happens. How's this going to happen? Seeing I know not a man. Seeing there's no way humanly possible, I'm a virgin. The answer is, verse 35, it's going to be a divine act by the power of God. And what is the exclamation point? Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And I believe that. I know that to be true. Amen. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This is a miraculous fact. Next week you're going to see a bunch of disciples sitting around the Lord. And they're going to say, how can a man be saved? And you're going to see the same verse basically. Jesus is going to say, the things that are impossible with man are only possible with God. So we're going to look at another miracle next week. But right now, it's the miraculous fact that God Himself took on flesh. Now, let me tell you what our problem is, and I already said it. We have heard this so much. We take the extraordinary. We take the supernatural. We take the incredible. And we take the miraculous. And we make it sound ordinary and mundane. And God forgive me, I'm talking about us, preachers. I'm talking about us, evangelicals. I'm talking about us, born in the Bible Belt. You know, when I was in kindergarten, I was helping my daddy with the nativity scene. It's been a fact of life for me. Almost like going down the street to the store, or almost like George Washington or whatever. And my friend, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to take you into a place of worship and awe, and to take your breath away, to come back to this miraculous fact that God Himself, the full measure of His glory, has come to earth to live among men. Go with me to 1 Timothy again and go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You say, Brother Leo, why is this all through the New Testament? How did you come up with all these verses? My friend, I left a lot of verses out. I want you to understand. This was the first point of the message of the disciples. Imagine if this happened 20 years ago and you're John or Peter. And you're talking to a Jew. And you're telling him, hey, God Himself was born in Bethlehem 20 years ago to a peasant girl. Now they're going to look you dead in the eye and they're going to say, you mean Yahweh, Jehovah, God Himself, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This Jew who's under the Old Testament, the God of Moses and Joshua, the God of Jonah and Daniel, the God of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Haggai, the God that walked in the fiery furnace, the God that parted the Red Sea, the God that led our forefathers through the wilderness, that brought man and quail in, the God that sent a whale to swallow up Jonah, the God that rained fire down from heaven for Elijah and Elisha, the God that did all these things. You're saying that God became a baby in a manger? You think about an event that happened 20 years ago. You know, we're almost in the year 2020. You know, we can think back to 9/11. We can think back to Y2K. We don't even know. We can't remember who won the World Series or the Super Bowl. But all of us are going to stop in January and watch the Super Bowl. You know, I believe it was the Rams. Did the Rams beat the Titans? Well, was that 99? Was it 2000?
No, it was January 2000.
Yeah, January 2000. I can remember that. That shows you how bad I am. But anyway, the bottom line is, you know, that the Lord said, "You shall be witnesses of me." And so these guys were trying to convince people that God Himself came to earth.
Yeah.
Now I want you to understand, and this may not be awe-inspiring you enough yet, but I'm going to preach this thing as hard as I can these last moments. But what I want you to understand, He is coming back to earth.
Amen.
You know, and that's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's just as incredible as Him coming the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. We got people in churches all over the world today, and they're not really giving this a second thought. I'm asking you to give it a second thought, a third thought, 10 thoughts, 20 thoughts, and dive into this great truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and again, I'm just going to make the point. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, look what he says. Paul, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Paul's saying, look, I don't want anybody arguing about this. This point is, you cannot alter it. You know, this is non-negotiable. That's what he's saying. Without controversy, this is non-negotiable. Verse 16, "God Himself was manifest in the flesh."
Amen.
Stop right there. See, this is the first point of belief. You got to believe this. You got to embrace it. It's got to be more than a ritual. It's got to be a fact of life. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Brother Leo, I've never given it this much thought. Well, we need to, all of us. This is Christmas. It's more than a bumper sticker. Philippians chapter 2, and I've got, you know, as an expositor, I've got everything A, B, and C. So Philippians 2, 6a says this. "Jesus, who being in the form of God," I'm stopping right there. "Jesus, who being in the form of God," verse 7, "made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant and allowed Himself to be made in the likeness of fleshly men. He took upon Himself a body." Verse 8. "Being found in fashion as a man with a body, a human being, He became." And I'm not getting to the fact He died on the cross. That's next week. This fact right here is enough to spend 10 years on. God Himself has come in the flesh. He became a man. You know, I can look at Jonathan, I can look at Randy, I can look at Jared. He became a man. We're men. He took upon Himself a body.
Yeah.
If we were alive during those 33 years, the creator of the universe could have walked into this room. He could have sat down, ate fish with us.
Yeah.
He could have healed us.
Yeah.
He could have spoke and preached and taught. And we'd have heard Him. We could have shook His hand. We could have hugged Him. And I want to praise God. He's got that glorified body now. When you see Jesus, you're going to shake His hand? No, I'm going to fall at His feet.
Yeah. Amen.
With tears of joy that I never thought existed.
Yeah.
And if I can ever get up, I'm going to hug Him. I'm going to hold Him. I'm going to thank Him. But He came 2,000 years ago, on the hallowed ground of earth. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. You know, there's a reason this is all through the New Testament. See, our problem is we're reading this stuff 2,000 years late. When this stuff was written 40, 50, 60 years after the ascension of Christ, you know, there were no 24-hour news networks. People didn't know this stuff. And so the disciples are trying to get this point across. God Himself became a man. God Himself became a man. Hebrews 2, and here we go again, 14a. Hebrews 2, 14a. For as much then as the children, for as much then as human beings are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus Christ also Himself likewise took upon Himself flesh and blood. That's Christmas. That is Christmas. Verse 16. For verily He took not upon Himself the nature of angels, but He took upon Himself the nature of men like Abraham. That's what's being said there. I mean, you sit by your Christmas tree this year and you read this out loud to yourself and you have a way in the manger playing or something. Verse 17a, wherefore in all things it behooved Him, it was best for Him to be made like unto all these other human beings, like unto His brethren. Not going to get into the purpose. You can read the rest of that and see more of the purpose. Probably take us 2 weeks to do the purpose. So He also Himself became a partaker of flesh and blood. He took upon Himself the nature of humans, human nature. It behooved Him to be made like us with a body as a man. And that's unbelievable. Amen. It's miraculous. Well, you can believe it because God gives you the faith to believe. So it's not unbelievable. It's wonderful. It's divine. And you know, people just flippantly, I'm talking about religious people, just flippantly go through the Christmas season. All right, I got ahead of myself a little bit, but we're going to look at it. Go to 1 John. And when Jesus told the disciples, and I'm closing with this. When Jesus told the disciples to be witnesses unto Him, the early church was. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, we see it laid out. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. I didn't mean to go to Revelation. I knew as I was reading that. I didn't mean to go to Revelation. But I'm close. Go to 1 John. I'm gonna, my goal the next year or so is to find y'all a young pastor who has not lost his mind. I lost my cell phone yesterday. A lot of things are going on, and we're trying to keep up with different things. And I walked into my office, and in there is a stationary bike. And it's got a black seat on it. And I was checking an outlet, and I sat my phone on the seat of that bike. Black phone, black bike. Patty was in Florence, so I was keeping my phone with me, and Daddy, in case he calls, I was keeping my phone with me everywhere I went. It took me 4 hours to find the phone. I knew it was somewhere, and I finally told Patty, I said, now, I may have thrown it in the garbage with something I was throwing away. I said, when you get, you know, my thought was, when she gets here, I'm going to have her call my phone. And it's got to be in the house, on the front porch, somewhere. And so I was retracing my steps, and I walked into the office, and I said, I knew I stood by this desk, or I looked at this desk, and I put my hand down, on the seat of that bicycle. And there was my phone. I never saw it, but I felt it. I said, there it is. That's where I put it. And so I texted Patty. I said, you hadn't heard from me in 4 hours because I lost my phone. But I found it. So I'm going to get y'all a young pastor. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says this. This is the witness of the early church. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. So what he's saying is, that which was from the beginning, God in the beginning was God, the Word was God, the Word was with God. So we have heard God, we saw Him on earth with our eyes, we looked at Him, and our hands have handled Him. Verse 2, for the eternal life of God was manifested here on earth, and we saw it, we're bearing witness to His life, and we're showing unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and then came here and appeared to us on earth. That's what he's saying in these verses. That which we saw and heard, we lived with him 3.5 years. We're declaring him unto you that you may have fellowship with us as a believer. And truly our fellowship is with the Father through His Son Jesus Christ. And now we are writing these things unto you. Now this was a key point in the early church. It was their mission. It was their witness to convince these Jews that God Himself came to earth as a man 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago. And they would begin every conversation with this point. The eternal, immortal, all-powerful God came to earth and lived as a man for 33 years. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. This is how important this point is. First John chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye. Hereby, this is the way you're going to know. The Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came to earth in the flesh is of God. You can't get any more simple, any more direct than that. If you're of God, I can confess that I know in my heart that Jesus Christ came to earth 2,000 years ago in the flesh. Now that's a point of judgment. What do you mean? I'm going to be judged by this for a little? Yes. Yes. Your faith is judged by whether or not you believe that. Why? Read verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now you can't get any more important than that. So I praise God for all the joy of Christmas. You know, it's a great time. Patty and I love it. We loved it when Daniel was a child. We love it now. And all of these wonderful things and family and all that goes with it. But my friend, the bottom line, Christmas is God Himself came to earth in the flesh. Amen. Why He came, we'll explore next week. But look at what it says. Hereby know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that believes and confesses that Jesus Christ came to earth 2,000 years ago in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God. So all these secular humanists, all these bleeding heart inclusiveness people that want Jesus to be in the same boat with Gandhi, that want Jesus to be in the same boat with Muhammad, that want Jesus to be in the same boat with Hare Krishna, that want Jesus to be in the same boat with religious leaders. That's not of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is above all.
Yeah. Amen.
God Himself, come in the flesh, is Jesus Christ. One more verse that I skipped, Colossians 2. And this is the exclamation point. Judy, I'm going to ask you to play softly here in a moment. And we're going to meditate on this. Colossians 2 verse 8 says this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, he's a great teacher. He is a prophet. No, he's more than that. After the traditions of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ alone. Christ alone. For in Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That bodily is huge. All the fullness of the God. He was fully God and fully man. Brother Leo, explain that. I just did. He was fully God and fully man. I can't tell you any more than that, because I don't know any more than that. But it's worthy of all acceptation. I accept that He was fully God and fully man. That's the miracle of Christmas. I believe it. It's confirmed in my heart and in my spirit. A miraculous fact. Jesus Christ, God Himself, came into the world. Merry Christmas! Jesus Christ, God Himself, came into the world 2,000 years ago. Born in a stable or a cave in Bethlehem, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a feed trough, a little manger, and the angels sang in heaven. And I will go back to that night in my mind many times over these next few weeks. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you take a few moments and meditate on a miraculous fact that Jesus Christ, God Himself, came into the world 2,000 years ago. That's what you're celebrating. That's what you're singing about. And next week, you're going to see the reason. The reason for the season is you. He came to get you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go to the Lord. Thank you.